Another Saturday stuck in traffic on the way to church. I wish I was a wedding singer, but I'm not. I'm stuck down the back with a video camera.
I love the chicken, thanks.
Welcome to Shutsu, the podcast. Jobs and networking for professional photography and video crews. Join the zoo at shutsu.com.
Welcome to Shutsu, the podcast, talking with professional photographers and videographers from around the world. And if you're not part of the Shutsu team yet, join up at shutsu.com. We've created a platform to assist with connecting professional crew together and minimizing the admin of crew management. We'll help you grow your business, and it's free to set up a profile and check it all out. So jump on to shutsu.com.
A toolkit for the industry's best. Join the zoo. shutsu.com.
Today on the podcast, we're heading across to New Zealand to talk with Ben and Sijana, the creators behind Tinted Photography.
So Sijana and Ben from Tinted Photography, welcome to Shutsu.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
So you're adventurers. You're husband and wife couple? Or your partners, So, and wedding devotees. And you state in your website that your love comes first.
Yes.
And that's how you transition.
The whole idea of love.
Yeah. And I think it's through our love story that we had a better background of capturing other people's love story.
Definitely.
And just, you know, realizing the struggles couples go through as they form relationships and the joys that come with it, etc. And a deep empathy for that, I think, helps us in better capturing love stories rather than just showing up on the day, having fun and leaving.
Yeah.
So you're based in New Zealand and all around the world, really, at the moment.
Yeah, homeless.
Yeah. Yeah, we're technically homeless at the moment. We're doing a lot of travelling.
So which country in the world would you say is your favourite at this point?
This year it's probably, Singapore, I think.
Spain will always be my favourite country, I don't think.
We just got very surprised by Singapore this year. It's normally just a stopover at an airport, and we spent a week outside the airport and discovered a whole lot of new food and great people. And
fantastic people.
It was just, I think it was the biggest surprise of the year.
Yeah, was Singapore.
Yeah. And then Spain is like our spiritual home. We charge when we go to Spain.
Yeah. I know. If I could work out how to live in Spain forever, I would.
Absolutely. I picked up the language and I was...
almost overnight she was speaking, like ordering breakfast and
don't
things.
Don't ask
it was
me
such
now.
Such a natural...
But when
amazing.
I was there, I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so, it felt like if I was not born in India, I should have been born in Spain. It's so amazing.
And how did you both get into photography?
I've been using cameras since I could lift one. I studied photography all through high school. And then when I got to university, I did an honours degree in graphic design. During that period, the 4 years that I was there, I did all my electives in photography and video production. And when I got out the other end, in my last year, I ended up tutoring two intakes of 50 students each, the new intakes into the class. So I had 100 students to tutor photography to. The actual lecturer was kind of like, I'm pretty busy, you've got this, right? So I kind of got dropped in at the deep end and had a pretty crash course in teaching photography. And it was, by the time I got out of that, at the end of my honours year, I realised that that's really what I want to do, is to do photography, not graphic design. So I got out and I did a lot of travelling, did a lot of, travel photography, street photography, that sort of thing. And that really sort of helped cement my love for it, all the while doing graphic design work. And I wound up finding a position that gave me the ability to do both for a while there. I was doing stuff like press events, product photography and things, working as an in-house designer as well for a big company in New Zealand. And that's, kind of jumping forward a bit, but we, during that time, we were also running Tinted. So, it's been a good, cool, crazy journey.
Was a big jumpy answer.
Years or like boom. probably more like 12 years actually.
And for me, I was a poet before this, and my degree is in psychology. And I used to compete in New Zealand with my poetry, in poetry competitions. And what I started doing was I started taking self-portraits to go with my poems. And this is how I started with photography. And then recession hit. And
this is before selfies were a thing, right?
Yes, yeah. That's before selfies were a thing.
Oh, yeah, when it was a self-portrait, and now it's just degraded.
Yeah, and then recession hit. We both had honours degrees, and I had masters, and we thought world was our oyster. Mm. It didn't work out that way. And I had 300 rejection letters at the end. And I remember on my 300th rejection letter, I thought we need to do something about it. Mm. And I really didn't like how people were hiring and firing. And I just wanted to start my own company where I could manage hiring and firing better. Because by that time I had done organizational psychology was my background. In between this, we met on a dating website.
Mm-hmm. That's how my husband and I met too.
The date wasn't going that well till we mentioned photography and we both lit up, and then ended,
like,
it was
like
a morning
you.
Date that ended up till 4 a.m. We just kept talking and chatting, and decided on my 300th rejection letter that we should start a company together. And during starting the company and the first few months, we fell in love. And so it's a workplace romance, and that's how photography started as well. So photography has been
sort of born out of our connection to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you started as a business partnership and then became...
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Great. It I'm going to kill my husband. No, I'm joking. it's going
definitely.
Well.
Yeah. Sorry, we gave you such a long-winded answer for how did you start with photography to how did you guys meet.
So, how we got started with Tinted might be an idea.
Yeah. How did you get started with Tinted?
So, so for Tinted, that was a little bit different. It was as you heard, we'd Surgeon had all these rejection letters, and I was just plugging along. I think when we met, I was at a petrol station.
Mm-hmm.
So, in between my travels. And I had all these photos from Africa and China and Southeast Asia and these other places where I'd traveled, and they were all in a big box under my bed. And Sijana found them one day while she was cleaning it out. And said, okay, this is stupid. These have to be out there. People should see this work.
And
what you've created is amazing. And I was like,
so opposed to it. He was like, no, nobody was going to like it.
I'm always a student, never the teacher. I'm always learning. And
so you didn't want to do a gallery. You didn't want to do anything.
And then I organized exhibition without letting him know and put all his photos there and invited him there. But by the time he came, it was sold out. And that's when he was like, okay, I probably can. And
off the back of that, a friend asked us to do their wedding. Asked me at that point to do their wedding. And Sijana came along for moral support, and I was freaking out. I didn't think I would like weddings very much. I was much more into the whole documentary side of things and just standing back and being, fly on the wall. And I didn't realize that was all part and parcel with doing weddings. And I think it was at the reception. I came running up to Sijana, like, this is how she tells it, right?
Excited, and he just like came and jumped right in front of me and said, I want to do this for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
This is so good.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah, there was something about this, the mix of emotion and just all those cool, crazy things that are happening during on a wedding day that really, it's irreplaceable. It's such an amazing thing to be there and be experiencing.
It was so cool that we got to photograph it together.
I'm glad she was there. So she was there as my moral support. She had, I think, a little 500D camera, running around, and I had a couple of 5D Mark IIs or something.
I kicked your ass with that.
Yeah, man, you did pretty well.
It's all about the eye, isn't it?
Yeah.
We are very competitive people, so that's why you'll hear a lot of "I kicked your ass."
There's nothing wrong with being competitive with your significant other. We do too.
But
that's something that definitely helps in our photography business and in our life in general, is being that competitive streak means that we're always pushing each other and always growing as artists. So it Yeah, so ever since the very first wedding, that's how it's been. And these days, you know, we make sure that, you know, all our file names are recognizably ours so that we know who took what photo afterwards.
So you can have a competition every day. So you actually say, you know, you said you like fly on the wall. So you've actually kind of transitioned into anthropological and storytelling. So that's your shooting style.
Yeah, definitely. And the two of us working together, though, that really does mean I get to do the fly on the wall thing more often than Sergina does. And it's something that I still enjoy doing because I really like reading a room and trying to figure out what's going to happen and how things are going to be and whether, you know, the best position to be will be and all that. This neat sort of, I don't know, it's a bit of a, like a puzzle, and I really enjoy that side of it.
Mm.
But then there's always that need, especially at a wedding day, to be empathetic to what's going on as well, and to, you know, if the bride's hair is all fuzzy or something's just kind of, her dress is not sitting right, or, you know, if there's a chance to do that, then we'll step in and do that. And that's really what Sergina does.
Yeah, like, no, I use my psychology degree a lot with photography and getting to know the couple and understanding their brand of love and then photographing it with that lens on. So that is something I take a lot of pride and time in as we are preparing for a session.
So, yeah, to illustrate that point, a recent wedding that we did, the couple had a quiz. There was about 130 people at the wedding, and it was a quiz on the couple's
relationship
and how they met and all sort of stuff. And, we came fifth out of 130 people, and like, you know, their closest family were the winners there. But it was only because we were a little bit slow on answering a couple of questions. We got them all right, so.
Do you spend a lot of time with your couples, your clients, before you actually shoot them?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's why we only work with 35 couples a season, because it's a lot of time. It's a lot of WhatsApp chats and Skype calls and late night chats. And just being not, because most of our couples are traveling to New Zealand rather than being from New Zealand.
Yeah.
There is a lot of planning involved with their travel as well, and we love to create itineraries for them and hooking them with the best vendors and letting them know the best spots to definitely visit, what food to eat, etc. So there's a lot of time spent there on top of learning more about them and understanding their love.
And you do multiple day packages as well. So do you want to talk through that too?
So the longest we've done currently is...
It's 5 days.
Yeah. And that's often that'll be 3 days photographing and 2 travel days in between to get to the different locations. And those days are really cool. That's where we get to hang out and really just, you know, get to know the couple that we're with and... Basically, yeah, become fast friends.
We realized that the need that we wanted to fulfill was the discovery of new places and adventure itself. Like, there's so many photographers and we're all doing the same thing of capturing memories for our couples. And the value we wanted to add was that being, both of us being adventurers and having that adventurous soul, we wanted to share it with people who themselves have adventurous souls and would like to plan an epic trip, but necessarily don't have the time to plan one. So that's where we come in. And rather than just saying, hey, we meet you at a certain spot or a couple of spots and do photos, we're like, look, you're coming to New Zealand or you are from New Zealand, or you want to go somewhere else or want to travel in a place that you haven't seen in New Zealand. That's where we come in. And rather than just meeting you there, we'll meet you in the mornings, you know, start with a morning coffee and then take you to places you haven't been before. So that's very important for us. Whenever a couple says they've already been to some place, we'll always try and suggest something new so we can have that excitement of discovery with them. That brings a lot of emotions through photos, but also creates a lot of memories for them outside of those photos. For those photos to become even more meaningful.
So it's at the moment in New Zealand, it's a lot of South Island.
It's New Zealand, South Island, North Island, Melbourne, Perth. That's where we are doing most of our adventure sessions.
Our main hunting ground.
what would your average, and I know you're going to say there is no average, but what is your average shoot look like?
So most of our couples, our smallest sessions are one-day sessions. Most of our, so on average, it'll be a three-day session, 2 to 3 day session. And it would mean meeting up on the first day with, generally people have two outfits, for example, that we have already helped with the wardrobe styling and helping them pick the best clothes that will suit the location. So they will come up with those two outfit changes. Mm-hmm. We will meet them in, so if it was in Melbourne, we would meet them in an urban location and then travel along, travel with them to some other beautiful naturistic place.
Yeah.
And then end with a sunset and have dinner with them that night and stay somewhere closer to our second location for the second day, and do the same thing over and over again, how many days there are. So basically as many spots as we can cover with our couples, and show them some awesome places. That's what the sessions look like. Also, we find out beforehand if they have not seen mountains before, or they haven't experienced the glory of a starry night, or what have you. Whatever their experience virginity is,
we and then you go for that. Out, yeah,
and then try to make sure that that is included in the session. So yeah,
that definitely. When we call them adventure sessions, they're definitely an adventure session.
Yeah, there's a lot of climbing the fences and
jumping fences, climbing mountains.
So pushing them outside of their comfort zone potentially,
mm-hmm.
to get them to actually experience emotion.
yeah,
totally.
And the story behind your name, so you know, Tinted Photography. Where does that come from?
So it was a name that Ben came up with before he met me.
So I started Tinted back when I was in university as a way to make some pocket money. I did like nightclub photography and the occasional event and like birthday party and that sort of thing. But yeah, the name was an interesting one. I spent a lot of time pondering over it. But,
and so when I came along, we were thinking if we should change the name, you know, make it more romantic and or make it more adventurous. And the more we pondered on it, the more we realized that there is this definition of the word tinted, or that was very close to what we were doing. So it is a property that becomes apparent when light falls on an object, and by which things that are seemingly identical in form, they can be distinguished. So the tint is tinted.
is seeing the world uniquely.
Up next, Ben and Sijina talk about their work-life balance and some of the failures starting out in the photography business.
Digging deep into the minds of the industry's best. Shutsu, the podcast.
Your mouth is a revolver, find bullets in the sky. Your love is like a soldier, loyal till you die. And I've been looking at the stars for a long, long time. I've been putting out fires all my life. Everybody wants a flame, they don't want to get burned. And today is our turn. Days like these lead to nights like this. Lead to love like ours. You light the spark in my bonfire heart. People like us, we don't need that much. Just someone that starts the spark in our bonfire hearts. This world is getting colder, strangers passing by. No one offers you a shoulder, no one looks you in the eye. But I've been looking at you for a long, long time. Just trying to break through, trying to make you mine. Everybody wants a flame, they don't want to get burned. Well, today is our turn. Days like these lead to nights like this, lead to love like ours. You light the spark in my One that starts the spark in our bonfire hearts. Days like these lead to nights like this lead to love like ours. You like the spark in my bonfire.
Welcome back to Shoot Zoo, the podcast, talking with professional photographers and videographers from around the world. If you haven't signed up for Shoot Zoo yet, head to shootzoo.com. It's completely free to sign up and check it out. Today on the podcast, Laura is talking to Ben and Sijana from New Zealand from a company called Tinted Photography.
So work-life balance, let's move into living, working, you're a wedded couple. How do you separate your work and your life?
Strongly believe that there is nothing called work-life balance. We're strong proponents of that. I know when we started our business, we heard the buzzword work-life balance. Mm. I came from the background of organizational psychology, where there was like people doing theses on work-life balance and how to achieve it. And the more we did our business, the more we realized that if there was a need for work-life balance, then we are not in the right business, that we are not doing something that our hearts sings for and our souls feel the best at.
So we have life balance these days. There are times when you want to catch and take in a movie and you just kind of think about, okay, we can do that. There are other times when you're sitting there at 2 a.m. and you're like, really amped because you're doing something new to the website, or you're talking to some client who's just making your evening or your morning in that instance. it's always like, it's such a rewarding thing that we're doing. It really does feed our souls.
So there is a life balance. And when we talk about life balance, that is achieved through routines. I strongly believe in routines. And even though with all our traveling, time routines cannot be achieved because we are in different time zones.
Sometimes that has been a trick this year, hasn't it?
Multiple time zones, sometimes within a week's span. But we do have day routines, like how we start our day and what we do on special days. For example, Friday is generally our day. So as much as we can, we'll try to cram a lot of work in Thursdays and Saturdays. So Friday can have a bit off a breathing space to meet family, etc., and to just walk out. And then day routines, like morning routines of not checking social media first thing in the morning, doing mindfulness, and what have you, making our beds, etc., that helps us with the life balance.
And do you find there are days where you're like, I just need some me time?
Oh God, yes. And that comes when we are working 24/7. Like, it's such a blessing that we get to work together. It's so amazing. I cannot thank my lucky stars that this is happening. But you do travel 24/7 together and work together, and you need a me time. And our me time, Ben loves to go mountain biking or work on his car.
Yeah, and, one of those two.
Yeah. And I love painting. So I have another business where I do custom art for businesses and homes, and it's I get to, yeah, dip into that.
And
yeah.
that's your relaxation as well as another business.
Yeah.
And how do you, so do you consciously shut up the office at the end of the night or go with whatever the day leaves you?
We used to when we're back at home. It's been a little different now that we're traveling, because there's a lot of, along with like traveling like this, when we're in a town where there's family or something or there's friends and it's great to catch up, we have to take that opportunity. Or we go out and explore. We take that opportunity to do so, and then we end up working later into the night to balance that out. So this travel year has been a little bit more chaotic than our usual.
Our usual time used to be, we believe in sleep hygiene, so it used to like shut the
computers used to like
off.
Sleep too.
Yeah, turn out all the lights, make sure everything's properly dark and just get a good night's sleep. But it's been different
shower,
this year.
And
it's something, I mean, when we get back into our home base, that'll be where we're...
Yeah, that's something we miss, definitely. Having that sleep hygiene was really, really good. But we did suffer when we started this adventure thing.
We've learned as we've gone.
Yeah, we learned that practicing mindfulness combats that. Just taking our time whenever you have time in the day to just practice mindfulness just combats that anxiety and just tiredness that comes with not having a routine.
And is that, that's the risk of having your own business, is that you take on too much and you get anxious and you can't practice your mindfulness.
Yeah, we've both been through that at varying stages.
Absolutely. And it's been so good that we both went through that before we had kids, because now we've learned so many coping mechanisms and understood the horrors of falling into the trap of anxiety and overworking. And when I use the word overworking, it's only used in the context of when you stop realizing why you do what you do. That's when you start overworking. You know, you've lost your why. What are the horrors of all that happening? I'm so thankful we both realized those things before we had kids. So we are much more saner and wiser for them to arrive one day and be able to balance that.
Yeah. I am insane these days with children, but that's, they're still good. So industry. So you have you're in the photo industry. What do you think some of the biggest challenges are in this industry?
Social media is the biggest challenge. We have stopped creating art for ourselves, and we are creating it to please people. And we do a lot of mentoring sessions, and most of the questions that we get in our mentoring sessions and most of the myths and the work I have to do with other photographers is around that. The people try to say that they are not trying to do work for Instagram, for example, but they do. And it colors the way their work comes across. And we fell in that trap as well last year and had to dig ourselves out of it. Luckily, because we work together, it's nice that when one of us falls in that trap, the other one is there to just remind the other person.
Yeah, it's another reason.
This. But I think that's one of the biggest challenge, that we are not creating art for art's sake or for...
for our couple's sake.
Yeah, or for a reason, like to, you know, there is a underlying message to that art, but mostly for getting likes and applause, etc. So that is definitely the biggest challenge.
Do you think there's a risk that our society is moving to this instant gratification more and more?
Oh, yes, without a doubt, So at the age of 30, I was diagnosed officially with ADHD, and that explained a whole lot of things on one hand, but has also meant that Surgeon and I have done a lot more research into it and reading and things. And there's a lot of parallels between the instant gratification one gets on a phone and the shorter attention span and everything with the actual genuine ADHD diagnosis. So it's Yeah, it's a little bit worrying too, for me at least.
It's a dopamine fix people get, and, you know, all of us get, from checking our phones and seeing if there's a notification there. And I think for us, the wake-up call was we traveled to India, and I found this notebook from my teenage years, which had on a random page signed and dated, "I want to be a photographer." And I had forgotten all about it, and it felt like a surreal dream. And the more we looked into that notebook and the sort of doodling and drawings and art that I was creating, it resonated so much with me and told people who were looking at that art, for example, Ben, more of my life story.
Yeah.
And then we looked at the work that I was creating these days, which was more about pleasing other people, what the trends were, what is happening around. And it was such a stop in the track moment of, what are we doing with our photography? You know, are we doing this for likes? Are we doing this for getting more couples or what have you? Like, what is the basic drive behind sort of art we are creating?
That's super important to us too, because if we want to maintain that life balance, we don't want our work to feel like work. So if we're creating a product that's solely for
likes
and advertising, then our couples are missing out, and so are we. It's draining. So
it's draining. Really important that's recognized. The word.
Yeah, because you don't want to. I remember the days when you'd go out and everywhere you go, you take your camera, and we got to a point last year where it was like, oh, we're in this new city, and I don't feel like going out and photographing the streets, and that was a wake up call to me. I was like, wow, okay, this has become work, and that was concerning. Mm. So, we've been trying very hard this year to make sure that balance is achieved. You know, I still want to go out and take photos when I go to a new place, and.
With more mentoring sessions that we do, I make sure that I talk about growing a business and growing your art has nothing to do with, likes that you get from random strangers online. It's about building communities and building your art and just growing with it. And the more you do, your tribe is already there waiting for you, you know,
you
waiting
need
and
tribe.
Wanting and hungry
you
for your
need,
art.
Yeah.
Mm. You just need to be present in the arena to show up and do what you do best. They're already cheering for you. So
just gotta find them sometimes.
Yeah, no, really important.
But that's the thing. I think social media is, it's this, quick fix. People don't even read anymore, or they're not actually taking in any, they're scrolling mindlessly. So how do we as an industry combat that?
I think there is more talk that need to be done about it. I think the people who are doing mentoring sessions and people who are giving advices to the upcoming photographers need to talk more about it. And the more they talk about it, I think it will educate the masses. And whenever in history, whenever any generation has swung to one side more than the other, the next generation auto-corrects it. Yeah. Anyways, so I think that is going to happen. The more we are doing this, I think the next generation is going to want to have more authenticity and the real meaning of authenticity, not just what we keep throwing out these days. But they would want that. You've created a starvation mode for that authenticity, and so I think that will come back. On our end, I think we just need to talk more about it. More time we get in parties, etc., we just need to talk more about the disadvantages of it and tell personal stories of, you know, your art being hindered because of that, and that makes a lot of impact for a lot of people that I know, at least, that we have met on parties and done mentoring sessions with, how they have stopped feeling anxiety around social media and started creating art for themselves. So we've seen good results from people we have spoken with, and I think that's what is required, a dialogue.
And so your mentoring sessions, are they with other photographers that in differing stages of their career?
Yeah. Primarily.
Primarily, but we also work with other entrepreneurs who are not photographers, but they are running their small businesses and just want to know how to convert either potential clients into clients, grow their business into the area they want to grow in, and how to diversify, do pricing, etc.
So you've really taken what you've learnt in Tinted and in your different backgrounds, and you kind of packaged it up for a mentoring, because I think that's there's a lot of people that try and do it alone, and that's also a risk.
Yeah, I keep telling everyone that we work with that please don't do what we did. It's just like that. So many examples when they ask a question, I'm like, I'm going to answer this question, but I'm also going to give you an example of what us as unwise people did back then. Yeah. And we shouldn't be doing. And that was the thing. When we started seven, eight years ago, there were no mentoring sessions. Social media wasn't a big thing. Presets weren't a thing. And there were so many nights of just, you know, wanting to know what next, like what comes next. There was a joy in it as well. It was because you're figuring out everything on your own. So in our mentoring sessions as well, we try not to give answers. We try to give sort of ladders that they can climb and open their doors for themselves, because there is nothing like finding solutions for yourself in your business. It grows you so much more than getting answers from someone else. But it's great to know at least which ladder to climb.
Exactly. And so failure is obviously critical to learning. And what would you say your biggest failure was when you were starting out, or any time?
Editing.
Yeah, editing was the hardest thing to find. An agreed, you know, direction on. Yeah, the two of us still have this thing.
Very different people.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of struggle figuring out what direction we're going to take. But at that stage, we didn't realize that editing was an issue. We only realized later that, oh man, what were we doing?
Yeah.
I think at that stage was actually marketing, not realizing what marketing was. Because if you see before our generation, there was all the advertising done on television and radio. And just as we were starting our small businesses, social media was growing and becoming bigger and bigger, and the new way of marketing wasn't, you know, via social media, and it was such a new thing. How do you go about it? Do you still do that mass advertising like you do in television and radio? Do you do it nuanced? How? And I remember we tried everything from walking in our neighborhood and
putting leaflets in the letterbox
and just coyly leaving our business cards everywhere. Just I don't know what I thought would happen, who was going to pick that up. But it, like, ridiculous things.
It's about the brand message. It's subliminal.
I was like, oh, I'm buying this carton of milk. Here is my business card. And then where I picked the bottle. It was like really random. But I think the biggest aha moment for us was realizing, hey, everyone is taking photos. Everyone is creating memories. What is it that we are doing that is different? What need are we fulfilling? And I think the moment we realized that, everything else became easy.
Yeah, it's so that unique selling proposition, your brand, who you are.
Your point of difference, where you're helping people, just figuring that out. Because before that, pricing was difficult. It was so hard to tell people this is how much you charge. But once we realized this is where we are helping them, this is the need we are fulfilling for their in their lives, it was easy to price for it. It was easy to talk about it. It was easy to tell people what we do, rather than sounding sheepish. I think that was the biggest struggle. For a couple of years, we struggled with that.
Yeah.
And then you got the customers. So by working that out, then your customers, your ideal customer, did they just fall out as a result? So you were no longer targeting the mass.
Yeah, it was very immediate as well. It was a quick result, to say the least. I think we were in Europe when we came up with that aha moment on a bus. That
you come up with aha moments in very weird places.
Yeah. We were just doing this list of, you know, how do we market? We were, you know, coming up with newsletters and stuff. How, again, we would do this mass advertisement up to everyone's emails that we had and send them the same email. And this is how we will do it. And what we were trying to do was write the sort of language that everyone will like. And as we were struggling to come up with the right words, I think there was this aha moment of, why don't we say what we want to say to the people who would love to hear about it?
Mm.
And then we started writing about it, and it just became super clear the need that we were fulfilling, and our captions changed. How we replied to the inquiries, that changed the email that we used to send, our website changed, everything we did while we were in Europe. We didn't go out traveling. Once we reached our location for 4 days, we just sat inside like mad scientists and tweaked everything. Yeah. And
we saw Rome between about 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. in the morning after we'd done all our stuff, and we had to fly the next day, and we're like, we haven't seen the Colosseum, let's go do that.
But it was an immediate burden because it's been a time. Our conversion rate increased. Every inquiry that we got, most of them, like say 90% of them, were booking us. Everything changed from just figuring out who we are and who we are serving and who we are repelling, basically.
It sounds kind of simple, but when you're nose to the grindstone the whole time and when you're running your own business, it's definitely a... It's hard to take that time and justify taking that time to figure that out.
So that's why it happens when you're traveling.
Exactly.
And so both of you, you're in front, especially in social media, you're in front of the camera. How important is it being in front of the camera for your clients? So you guys...
So important. Oh my god, we have booked so many people, and I sometimes feel sad saying that and sometimes proud, but so many of our couples haven't even seen our work when they book us. They've just seen our stories.
Your stories when you're talking about authenticity, your stories actually are real when you're looking at them on social media, and you can tell that.
Thank you.
you can't make that up.
We try to share a lot about what we are doing, but again, that came from a lot of our people who mentor ask us, what should we story about? And I always take them back to what your brand is. If you haven't figured out what your brand is, it's very hard to make stories or cohesive stories. So we normally talk about our adventures and about how we balance our life with our work and travel and being awake so many hours. So that's what we talk about in our stories. And a lot of people these days, when they're making breakfast, or so we have heard, put on stories rather than some show or radio, and they're cooking their breakfast, and you suddenly slide up in those stories and they find you and connect with you because they're adventurous people as well. And they're like, whoa, we are planning a trip. Why not go to this place and meet them?
And why not? Why not actually getting some good photographers as opposed to having a selfie and just having selfies of yourself in those beautiful places?
Yeah, and photographers who are going to organize their trip as well rather than just be like there and bye.
What's not to love?
So one of the neat things when we went to Singapore is we caught up with a lot of our past couples who we'd photographed in the South Island. And like every night we were there, we went out with a couple and we caught up over dinner and drinks and really just had an excellent time. They took us to all different parts of the place.
Just like we did for them in New Zealand.
And it was so cool experience. That they wanted to repay that and to hang out and everything. And we absolutely loved it. Like, we've made some really good friends in Singapore now.
Lifelong friends,
And that's because you obviously aren't just a vendor. You're actually someone who comes into their lives quite significantly.
Oh, definitely, So that could lead us into the wedding, our wedding story.
Tell me.
the reason why we are as we are.
Actually, that is a very good story.
I'll let you start it.
I remember when we were going to get married in India, I turned to Ben and the flight was just taking off. And I said, we put in a lot of time in creating experiences. And maybe that's not the right way, because that was still the time we were struggling with our why and we hadn't figured out who we are and what our brand is. And I said, oh, we're not getting a lot of clients and maybe we're putting a lot of time and experience and it doesn't show. Maybe we just put in a lot of time editing and photoshopping and creating this photo.
Yeah.
And then we had our experience with our vendors, and I remember coming back from India and saying, oh my God, scratch whatever I said before. Yeah. Experience is the king.
Yeah.
Our wedding photographer canceled on us last minute. We had to fly our wedding photographer from Canada, and they were all about taking photos and that will create a blog and get it published in places. So there was no connection with them.
The Canadians and the second one.
It was surprising. Like we didn't realize that there were people in the wedding industry with that mindset. They were there to do
a job.
You know, a job. And we had to find them last minute. Literally 5 days before we flew to India, our original photographer dropped out and we had no other options. And so we hastily did a couple of Skype calls and picked somebody. And it was just Jekyll and Hyde. By the time that they landed in India, it was like a very different person, experience.
And so even though there are some of our photos which are so beautiful and so many people have complimented on them, we haven't printed anything out and none of them speak to us because the experience we were having at that time and how it was all posed and it was just done for a blog. And our wedding is published in so many blogs.
So from their perspective, they're successful.
But of course, it is not published on our walls at all or anywhere. But in contrast, we got to work with our favorite photographer. And I'm a big fan of Pablo Lagia in Spain.
Yeah.
And he did our elopement after our wedding.
And we did take two.
I'm going to do this properly this time.
We had to get over that experience. And
so quickly, it wasn't just the photographer. We had issues with our
videographer. And my dress.
The dress was wrong. The cake never showed up.
Gosh.
Like every single thing added stress. And it was kind of nightmarish by the time. Like nothing went right.
Yeah.
So you have
the long
to
story
it.
Is like 4 hours to tell, so we'll save that for another day.
I think that's another podcast in its own right.
What the experience Pablo gave us in New Zealand was unlike anything. And even before we could see our photos, we knew we loved them.
Yeah.
We didn't have to look at our photos to, you know, think if they were good or not. And they are the best photos we've ever seen. but we were not waiting for them, you know.
Yeah.
We had such an amazing time. He gave us so much love and respect for our love that Ben and I share that it was unlike anything else. And it just reinforced our idea about experience as the king. And that is the way to go. If you have to build your tribe.
And posing, like, I mean, that's obviously the old school way of doing it, is posing them and making it so that you get all of the shots that you have to get. But I think everyone's moved on. Well, not everyone, but you've definitely got a niche out there that have moved on who don't want that. So
No, absolutely. And this is where we come in as well. We know there are lots of our couples will tell us that they're very awkward in front of the camera, and Ben and I do Tinted Tuesdays, so every Tuesdays we do our self-portrait and put it up. So we get a lot of practice, and we do get our photo shoots done twice every year, so we get a lot of practice in front of the camera and behind the camera. So we do understand the importance of showing people how to move their bodies so they feel more comfortable within themselves in front of the camera, because it is a nerve-wracking process being in front of a camera. If you're not a celebrity,
it's pretty much impossible to use the whole just act natural technique, you know, that they can't act natural in front of a camera.
Just act natural, don't forget this is literally acting, so
when it comes to posing, usually we'll start off with these are our three or four rules. Like by rules, I mean like suggestions. This is like when you're standing close to each other, you know, hold each other, keep touch points going, look at each other, not the camera, that sort of thing. So they have that to go by. And then the rest of it is essentially what we call prompting over posing, which is just, you know, we'll give them a scenario to do, or tell them to walk over there.
Or we'll show them a pretty place, like not talk about a place we're taking them to. Keep their eyes closed, walk them to an amazing place, and then open their eyes to this amazing mountain in front of them. Yeah. So things like that to get that reaction.
Yeah.
So, and, you don't want a posed reaction because clearly our faces show it. So we're almost there. So this is the speed round. And this is, you know, I'm just going to throw out questions to you. And we'll go from there. So what are two words that describe your photo style?
Two words. Adventurous lovers.
Well done.
Well done is also two words.
I'm trying to make fly on the wall and I'm like, wait, that's my old style. That's three words. Okay, next speed run.
Best part about working with your partner?
Intimacy.
Like constant love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worst part?
Criticism.
Constant love.
Good answer.
Yeah.
What's the most important thing in your kit besides your camera?
Cookies.
Yeah. Food. Yeah. that and I guess the cell phone's a camera, but
yeah.
Yeah. Cookies. Oh, yeah. You do need that. What's the perfect client?
Who love to adventure, and they're in love.
We have couples that say, you know, like we've been in New Zealand for a month now, and this was the best time we had photographing with you, and that's because they are us. Do you know, like they perfectly in tune with what we're doing, and vice versa, and that's the perfect couple.
Adventurous lovers. It's a quick round.
Too much love, honey. Too much love.
It's all about love. What's the next trend for the industry, or is that important?
It's not important. It's not important. I won't even answer that question.
Good answer. What's the hardest part of doing business?
Making people, loved ones understand around you about your long
hours.
Yeah,
that is actually pretty tough. Yeah. Everyone's very, like, parents and such are like, oh, you're working too hard and blah, blah, blah. And like we said, it's not work for us. So, it's getting that across, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's been the best place in the world that you've photographed?
Spain.
Where? Oh,
sorry.
Where in Spain?
South Island and Spain, come on.
Yeah, the South Island the has to make an honorable mention. But
I can't, sorry, it should be Mount Cook.
Yeah, Mount Cook.
Mount Cook.
Yeah.
Mount Cook, and then in Spain where?
Spain is my answer forever for everything, I think.
I don't know. I coming from New Zealand, I have an affinity for deserts. It's something that we don't get a lot of here, and I absolutely love cool. Like Rajasthan and Alicante and Spain and stuff that are just out there on the landscape scale as far as New Zealand goes. So, I think in Spain it was around Alicante. There's these amazing, like, desert. Yeah. It's like a mud hill desert. It's freaking next
level. Looks pink at sunsets and it's amazing. Yeah. But Mount Cook is definitely something that lights a heart every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's best, word of mouth or other forms of marketing?
Like best, probably word of mouth. Like as far as getting the couples that you want to work with. What are your thoughts on that?
I think other forms of marketing.
You think stories?
Because we get such wide variety of people to work with when they see us via stories. Word of mouth, we get a certain, you know, style.
That's true. We get the same click. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
stories, it is.
No, they're both right. No wrong answer. And where do you see your business in 5 years?
More in educating other photographers. I think that's where we're going with our workshops and our photographers' gap weeks and what have you. I think I would love to do that. It's really, really rewarding. Of course, always doing adventures.
Yeah, adventures is a... Yeah.
Yeah, that's we already there. Yeah. We're already there, and that will continue. But more education.
And Melbourne or New Zealand?
Oh.
Well, we found this last year that we don't really need a base in either.
Yeah, so yay, both.
It's not a long flight, so yeah.
It isn't a long flight, is it? It's great.
No, it is not. And we have family in both places, and two massage such different needs that we have.
Yeah. So in his family, we get a lot of food.
No, but like Melbourne itself, amazing culture, great food, such cool people to meet with, amazing coffees and cakes.
Things do feel slow when you come back to New Zealand.
Yeah.
But then that's New good Zealand too, because that recharges.
Freaking beautiful.
Well, Surgeon and Ben, thank you so much for joining us on Shootsy. And can you tell everyone your website address? Tell us your website address.
Oh, it's tintedphotography.com.
And your Instagram handle?
Tinted Photography.
Thank you, guys.
Cool.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Well, that's it. Thanks for joining us in the zoo. Stay tuned for our next episode at shootsy.com.